Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good value, big upside.
Steve Spurrier joins us. Coach, good morning.
And of course, the Spanish colony has Florida first up in St. Augustine. They were actually pretty good people in the state of Florida way back in the 15, 1600s and so forth.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Remember that one time Steve Spurrier gave us a history lesson on the state of Florida? Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. 22 minutes past the hour. Remember, you can listen across this great CBS Sports Radio network. Also on SiriusXM, channel 206. And on your phone, stream us at radio.com, CBS Sports app, or watch us at watchda.com. Our next guest is one of my favorite personalities at ESPN. I'm a big college football fan, so oftentimes you'll see him as well covering college football for College Game Day. But he combines a love of travel, of America, of finding people's stories, of listening more than talking, and his exuberance, his enthusiasm, I think is infectious. So I'm really excited to have him here on the show. He has a new book out called Never Settle, Sports, Family, and the American Soul. It's Marty Smith, and he joins us here on the DA Show this morning. Marty, good morning.
Man, thanks so much for your kindness. That was very nice to say, and I heard you discussing Spurrier's history lesson about Florida there. We love Florida. Florida's just a gift that keeps on giving, isn't it? I'll tell you.
Well, it's great
because Florida.
Yeah, it's great for beaches. It's great for sunshine and vacationing. It's great for fishing and stuff. And it's also great for really weird news stories just about every single
Florida
day,
man,
that you cannot believe actually happened.
I have a radio show on ESPN, and it's also a television show, but born from the radio, called Marty and McGee. And we do an entire segment, the last segment of every show we call Hillbilly Headlines. And 95% of them are spawned from the excellence in Florida.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because your Southern drawl has sounded different than so many other broadcasters, sportscasters throughout history. And you have worn that as a badge of honor. And I think that's a great thing. I think it's an amazing thing because it is something that's important to represent so many different cultures and communities across this country as we cover sports. How many people just say that to you, man? It's important that you sound the way that you do.
A lot. A lot of people say that to me. And it's interesting, too, because so many of them are aspiring journalists who might be from the southeastern part of this country. And I always maintain that you can be Southern and articulate at the same time. And I often implore them not to lose their accent, because if you do that, there's some authenticity about yourself that you're foregoing as well. And unfortunately, in a lot of cases, journalism schools will tell them you can't make it sounding like that. I had the great blessing that when I came into the television world, I was covering auto racing full time. And so it was authentic to NASCAR. And I will tell you, I give ESPN all the credit. They have never said one word to me about that. And I am so appreciative of that, and I do take it very seriously, and I'm so proud to represent folks in the southeastern part of the country like that.
That's funny that you say that, because as we've talked to Marty Smith here from ESPN, as my last name is Italian and it's long, it's a Mendolara, and I ran into when I worked in Kansas City in the Midwest, hey, this is a little too ethnic for out here. There's a little too many vowels in your last name. And along the way, there's been some ideas, hey, you might want to change your last name, whatever. And I just wanted to be authentic to myself. And so, you know, we just got to strip it down to my initials, DA. But I have certainly felt the same way. Like, you got to kind of conform to a box. Do you feel like, man, you kind of,
funny,
you ended up exactly where you needed to be by being exactly yourself? It must feel like the perfect end game for you, right?
It kind of leads into the book just a bit, and I'll tell you this. I was with Tim Tebow, who is a great friend of mine and someone that inspires me tremendously. He and I did a goodwill initiative for ESPN's Veterans Day coverage last year, last fall. We were on the USS Carl Vinson aircraft carrier and spending some time with the sailors and learning about their amazing vital jobs. And we were leaving the aircraft carrier, and we went to an airplane, and we were both flying to Texas together on Tim's plane. And I was a little bit down, man. I was having a bit of a pity party. I felt like I was kind of at a crossroads professionally, and I was a bit lost emotionally in that moment. And I had completely lost sight of what I had. I was consumed with what I felt like I didn't. And Tim leaned up in the chair. We were sitting diagonally from one another, and he leaned up in his chair, and he pointed right at me, and he said, "Do not let anyone else define your life. They don't have that right. You define your life." And it was such an amazing moment for me of clarity and of perspective, because I was letting all of these outside influences really determine my energy. And if you think about Tim's path, whether that was, okay, he wins the Heisman, he wins the national championship at Florida, he moves on to the NFL, he wins a playoff game, all he got was criticism. And then he decides, you know what, I'm going to chase a childhood dream that is at my disposal. The Mets organization is giving me a chance. I'm going to go play baseball. People thought he was embarrassing the game and embarrassing himself. But because he's not beholden to all of that outside influence, he's defining his own life. And I was so taken by that. And I tell you all of that, it lends itself to the point you're making. Don't let someone else, because of the number of vowels in your last name or the way that you sound in terms of your various accent, define who you're going to be. You do that. And your principles do that. And that was one of the stories I got to tell in this book. And I know that that's going to inspire people like you and me who may have faced that type of scenario.
Marty Smith joins us, ESPN reporter, College Game Day. New book is out, Never Settle, Sports, Family, and the American Soul. When you read through this book, when I read through this book, oftentimes it feels motivational, it feels philosophical, and it's kind of like what you were just saying right there. And most of it is very uplifting and motivational, and I wonder, you seem like a really positive guy, but you just said right there you were having a bit of a pity party. Is there ever a cynicism that you feel towards sports, the people that you cover? Is there ever a glass half empty or pessimism?
Not for me. And look, it's our job as journalists to report the truth and report what we see and what our sources are telling us and all of those types of things. But when it comes to the opportunity to humanize someone and disarm that person, I love that opportunity. I love to scale back those layers and learn about the why and the how beneath the who and what we cheer, right? We love victory. We love competition. But it's actually the stories of those people doing it that fascinate me the most. And like you take Tiger Woods, he's in the book. I got the great opportunity to sit across from Tiger. And we all know about the dominant competitiveness and then the fall and then the injury and then having his back fused and coming back and the redemption and all of those things. And when I got the opportunity to sit across from him, I wanted that vulnerable person. I wanted, and that's what I got. When I had the opportunity to interview Tiger last March of 2018, the resurgence is the right word, had not occurred just yet. He had just realized, wait a minute, I can play this game again. But it was a humbled man. And I love to learn about that humbled man. So that's the opportunity. I take that approach when I'm having these great opportunities. I love being positive, man. We got enough crap in this world. And I love being an outlet for people to feel joy.
One of the great chapters I thought in the book was your one-on-one with Nick Saban, and you are just in a car talking to him, and the cameras are off. And you end up talking about you growing up outside of Blacksburg, Virginia, and going over the hills to go see Virginia Tech football games with your dad. And you said you didn't see your dad a lot because he was working a lot, but those moments with him watching Virginia Tech meant everything. And Nick Saban could relate. he felt the same exact way going to watch West Virginia football with his dad growing up in West Virginia. And I saw a quote that you said that you want to write this book to leave a legacy so that your kids know you like you didn't know your daddy, and that those moments that you had with your dad were so important. What didn't you know about him that you wish you did?
A lot. He was this mythical kind of figure for me because, to your point, when I was young, he was really working his tail off to make sure that we had food in our bellies and the lights were on in the house. And we were a blue-collar family for a while. My father was a brilliant man, arguably the smartest I've ever known. He was very street smart. But he was also brilliant with numbers. So later in my life, and I say later in my life, more towards my later high school years, my dad worked his way to be the CFO of a major plastics corporation. And he did that through dogged determination and will. He got his degree from Virginia Tech while he was working 50, 60 hours building a tunnel in West Virginia. So he's a very inspirational person for me. But when I was young, he was this mythical, mysterious person. And so when I got those very intimate times with him going to see Virginia Tech play ball, where I was within that aura, and I knew that I had his attention, and I could feel his love and hope that he felt mine, that's a very important emotion for a little guy. And I still feel closer to him in Lane Stadium in Blacksburg, Virginia, than I do anywhere else. And as I was telling Coach Saban that story, see, for your listeners, a little backstory there, I did a five-minute interview with Coach Saban in his car 10 minutes after I met the man. So he can be an intimidating figure. I felt like I was prepared. I felt like I had questions that were open-ended and would let me tell him his story. And once we were done with that 5 minutes, there were still 15 minutes to get to his office. So we're small talking, and he hits me on the leg and asks me where I'm from, and I tell him. And that's right when Coach Beamer, Frank Beamer, the rumblings had begun that he would be replaced. And he asked me about that on and on. And so I told him that whole story you guys just heard. But I didn't care about, you know, the bad football when I was a kid. I cared about being with Daddy. And that's when Coach Saban said, man, I've lived it. Because Nick Sr. had a gas station. And the lessons learned for Coach Saban within his father's aura in that gas station were eternal. And once a year, they'd load up in the family station wagon, and they'd go to Morgantown, and they would watch the Mountaineers play football. And this is what Coach said to me. He said, I don't remember those games, but I remember distinctly that time with my dad. And for a guy like that, all right, that we know yelling at his assistant coaches and raising all his hell, right? For him to tell me that 20 minutes after we met, I just found to be so unique because I didn't know that guy, right? And we bonded to a certain degree that day, and we're closer now because I've covered Alabama so much. But that was quite a moment for me, and I was, again, so fortunate that I got to tell it this way.
Yeah, and it's a really fun read, this book, because you have all these anecdotes about your travels, interviewing people, and the chapter about Elena Deladon's challenged sister what that meant Lizzie. To that family, Lizzie, is really incredible. And Olivia Quigley, who fought breast cancer and won a gold in the Special Olympics, and her family bequeathed that to you after her passing. Just really amazing stories. And I think you're a special dude because you allow yourself to be vulnerable. You allow yourself to be sensitive. And that's not normally two adjectives that you use in sports media. I mean, we have just alpha males yelling at one another, having to be right all the time. And so that's why I think your reporting cuts through and your storytelling cuts through. That's why I really love watching you. And that's why this book was really awesome for me to read through. Never Settle, Sports, Family, and the American Soul, man. I give you all the props in the world because those are hard traits to have in our industry, and you do them really well.
Well, that's very humbling to hear. Thank you so much, man. And I just, I kind of take those small-town sensibilities from a couple parents who demanded a lot of me, and that was manners, and that was schoolwork, and that was athletics, and that was the golden rule, treating people the way you want to be treated. And I'm very blessed to have this gig. It's never lost on me. I'll never get used to it. And I know my good fortune. So thank you so much for those kind words. It means so much to me.
My pleasure, man. Hopefully sometime in college football season we can catch up again, because we're always talking college football
anytime
around here.
You want.
You're always on the road with some pretty cool stories to tell. So Never Settle, Sports, Family, the American Soul. The book is out right now by Marty Smith from College Game Day and ESPN. Thanks so much for doing this, man. Hopefully we can catch up and talk again.
Appreciate it, brother. Y'all be well.
You too. Marty Smith joining us this morning here on the show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.